Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for having me a part of this. I want to thank Jose, Scott, Christine, Aletha, and Regina for really going above and beyond and helping me. Because you got to realize, or most of you don't know, that I just did my first Zoom call about a year ago. I speak in front of groups, and I get the energy from my crowd. So this is the very first time that I'm speaking with no crowd. So this is so awesome. Such a great experience for me to see if I can pull the energy from you all. I know you're there, but I just can't see you. So let's get started. A couple years ago, or several years ago, I used to write on my mirror an old dark Dale Carnegie phrase. And it was, act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. Wrote it on my mirror, and I said it to myself every single morning before I started my day. I'd say it three times. Act enthusiastic, and you'll be enthusiastic, just like that. Now, is that silly? Yeah, a little. My wife thought I was crazy. But what that would do, it would start the energy and feeling better to start my day. And it's so important to start your day feeling good. Start your day positive. Because see, you got to realize thinking positive is something you do. It is not something you feel. My story. I was born in Arkansas. My mom was a heroin addict. And when I was 2 years older, he left before she even had me. So she had me for the first 2 years of my life, and we moved around a lot, and it was pretty rough, is what I hear. I don't remember any of it. But at about two, when she'd leave me at the babysitter for several days, my grandparents took me. Thank God. But the problem with that was my grandparents was really poor, and there was a lot of other people in my family, my uncles and aunts, that used drugs and alcohol, like my mom. So that was just my life. So I started 12 years old drinking and smoking weed. And as the years go by, it just kept getting worse. When I was 16 years old, I needed a job during school. Now I worked summer jobs, even at a young age, and made money. We're all hard workers. But I needed a job where I'd have some money during school. So I went down to the local grocery store and applied for the lowest bottom of the barrel position. That's a bag boy. So I thought. The store manager interviewed me and said, you know, we don't have a job as a bagger, but we do have this position. And if you can work hard, you will be promoted or you'll get a bag boy position. And I thought to myself, man, what in the world is lower than a bag boy? And he told me he needed me to come in for 1 hour a day to clean the meat department up 7 days a week. It was a terrible job. And I thought, man, I can outwork these people. So I took it. And sure enough, cleaning up 1 hour a day every single day for 7 days a week. And about 3 or 4 weeks in, I get promoted to a bagger. And I was excited. But remember the drug use. Remember the alcohol. I had it under control at the time. You know, I was young and you can do that stuff and sort of handle it. About a year goes by and it was starting to get out of control. My grandparents kicked me out of the house because I was just completely out of control, using cocaine excessively. I moved in with my uncle. It got so bad that he came to me and said, you're going to have to leave or stop doing drugs. The store manager, my boss, came to me and said, Michael, we're going to have to let you go. Even though you're our hardest worker, everybody in this little community knows what you're doing. We can't have that. So I thought, and at this time, I was really addicted to cocaine, daily, hourly. So I was fixing to be kicked, fixing to be homeless. I was fixing to have no job, and I was gonna be just on the streets. And I thought to myself, that's enough. That is enough. So I go back to my grandparents and say, well, I'm gonna clean up. I don't wanna be homeless. I'm stopping. And my dad said, okay, let's go to rehab. So I said, sure, anything. So we go to a rehab, a free rehab. And I don't know if you've seen the rehabs on TV where the actors and stuff go. This was not that. It was homeless people, crack addicts. It scared the daylights out of me. I was like, Pa, I called him, Pa, Pop, please, please, whatever you'll do, I will stop. He said, okay, go to church every Sunday and Wednesday, keep a job, and we'll see if you can do this. And I did it. I got completely clean. Started working hard and feeling better, and then that's when it happened. Somebody handed me, when I was 18 years old, a Zig Ziglar cassette tape. And I started listening to that tape every day. And I had never heard anybody talk like that. Nobody in my family believed in that kind of stuff. You can be whoever you want to be. You can do what you want to do and become anybody you want to become. Zig Ziglar's voice grabbed a hold of me and wouldn't let go. That saved my life. So I bought into self-improvement for the rest of my life. John Maxwell, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Norman Vincent Peale. I could go on and on and on. The next several years, my first big promotion was a store manager of a grocery store when I was 21 years old. I made $50,000 that year. That was in the early 90s. That's 150 today. Now think about that. Now I'm not bragging about me. I am bragging about the Zig Ziglar principles that I applied to my life that did that. I was on drugs when I turned 18, store manager at 21 years old. And I just can't thank Zig and God enough for that. All I did was just apply his philosophies. Let's fast forward the next many years. I had a lot of success in the grocery business. Worked my way up in a chain to all the different corporate management positions. I was a district manager. 18 years ago, I went in business with my boss. We bought some stores, went in business for ourselves. We worked that chain up to about six stores. And I worked so hard. I was just chasing money and success. So I'd had a couple of divorces. There was a lot of wild stuff that happened. My fault. Lost everything I owned twice as far as finances, but I kept being positive. I know. I said that in a speech with a live audience the other day, and everybody started laughing. And it's not, I really was extremely positive that whole way because I knew how to do it. But 6 years ago, I fell. And I fell hard. I got so negative that it was affecting my health. I was 250 pounds. I'm 180 now. I needed a hip replacement. I found out I was diabetic. We were having problems with one of our kids. We had bought a store that we lost $1 million the first year. I was even following politics at the time. Yeah, terrible time in my life. And I knew better. I knew better to get this low. Now, I was never thinking about suicide, but that was the close as I'd ever been in my life. I was so depressed. So I said, I got to pull myself out of this just like I stopped the drugs. So I've got a box of CDs, all my Zig Ziglar CDs out. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to start listening to CDs. Well, I didn't have a CD player. See, I done replaced all the cassettes with CDs. Spent all that money because I believe in something what Zig Ziglar said. He called it Automobile University. It's listening to all the books and trainings whenever you drive anywhere, Automobile University. See, I'm a high school dropout, but I believe I have a master's degree through Automobile University in motivation and positivity. So I started listening to my stuff. I hired a physical trainer. I started reading the Bible. I got back in church. I just started doing all the things that I knew to pull myself out of that. And I want to share three things that I did. There's others, but because of a time issue, I'm just going to share three of the most important. One of the things was watch what I put in my mind, and I call it vitamins for your mind. Put only good things in your mind. When you think about vitamins, you think more of nutrition, and you may think about that to make you feel good. Take vitamins and supplements. See, I'm here to tell you that vitamins for your mind will make you feel way better than vitamins nutrition. You need that too, but vitamins for your mind, books, podcasts, things like today. It could even be upbeat music, whatever makes you feel good, put it in there. The second thing that I did, and this word, this what I'm fixing to use, you all on this call may say, oh yeah, I do that every day. But when I heard about it, because I was digging around on the internet trying to find other ways to get positive more than I knew, it kept bringing up meditation. And it scared me. I'm like, meditation? I'm a Southern Baptist. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church in Arkansas. The only thing I could think about was Buddha sitting on a mountain being real quiet for 30 days. Not there's nothing. I love Buddha. I'm just saying. I imagine me being quiet, just sitting. And I thought, you know, that's against, that's not me. But I kept reading and it kept coming up. And Ray Dalio, a hedge fund billionaire, was quoted saying the number one thing he does every single day for his success is meditation. And when I heard that, he's worth $2 billion at the time. I started listening. He recommended a book called Six Phase Meditation by Vishen Lakhani. I highly encourage you to read that and read it with an open mind if you don't already meditate in your life. The first thing I started doing was practicing some very short 5 minute, 10 minute guided meditations. And it slowly started changing the way I felt during the day. And some of the meditations would be like, you know, maybe visualize the perfect day. Maybe sometimes it would just be sitting there feeling you breathe in and out to try to have that true relaxation. So I do this a couple weeks, and it took a little while. You know, I'd skip. It took a couple, literally a couple months to really grab me like that Zig tape did. And then when it grabbed me, it grabbed me. I'm able to go faster but calm, if that makes sense. It did not make any sense to me whatsoever until I experienced it. Meditation. The third thing, now the third is the most important thing I learned to do the last 5 years, by far. I never practice this, and that's a shame. It's pathetic what I'm going to tell you about what I didn't practice for most of my life. It's called practice. True. I'm not talking about thank you for this, but true gratitude. See, most of my life, you'd think for where I come from and what I had got, the success, the bonuses, the homes, the money, I would be thinking, man, I am so thankful. Every success, and when I say success, I always thought success with money until about 5 or 6, 7, 8 years ago. How much money do you have? What kind of car you got? What kind of watch do you wear? That's pathetic. It's terrible. As a Christian, it's all about thanking God, thanking what we have, being very thankful. So I started, thank you for this, thank you for that. And then I read a lot of Bob Proctor's teaching, and I highly encourage Bob Proctor's teachings. And one of the things that Bob Proctor would, he taught a lot about gratitude, but what he said do was get a pad and write down 10 things that you're truly grateful for. Truly. And at first, it could be, it could be hard at first. Maybe you've got a bad job, maybe you've got a bad marriage, and you think you're into this negative world or never train of thought that it's hard to do. But at first, because I was pretty negative, I would write down air, my house, my company, and things like that. And then I would sit there and just thank God for everything that I have gotten, because I certainly didn't deserve any of it. And then he said, Bob said, write down three people on this pad, three that has done you wrong in your life. It could be a spouse, it could be a friend, it could be a high school bully, but somebody that you have been mad at or you're mad at, and put them on the paper. Then visualize those people one at a time. Forgive them, love them, and hug them. I was thought, man, I've been through two divorces. I've been through some stuff that was hard. Now, it could be easy for the person that pulled in front of you this morning, or somebody bumped into you. Oh, I forgive you. I put them on my note, my gratitude pad. But how about the spouse that cheated, or the business partner that stole money? And it could get a lot worse. But remember, he said, and I started practicing, love them, visualize them first, love them, hug them, and forgive them. Now, why would he say do that? Why would that make any difference in anything? See, it's not for the person that you're mad at. It's not for the person that's done you wrong. It's for you. It's for me to release the negativity that's in my heart. And he says, do it every day until you truly forgive them. They'll probably never know. You can tell them if you want, but that's irrelevant. It's all about getting that negativity out, because negativity cannot live where positivity is. It can't be in the same place. It's like oil and water. So as I did that, as I kept doing the things, those things to change my mindset, things started getting better. See, what happened to me was, and I can't believe it, because I knew better. I knew all the tapes, all the zigzag, all those years I was going through hard divorces, and I was positive because I knew not to be negative. But I let my guard up 6 years ago. I'd made a lot of money. I was complacent. Our company was doing good, and I just kind of started relaxing. And you're either improving or going backwards. You are not staying the same. And at that point in my life, I thought I would just stay the same. This is good. I'm good. I like it. It won't work. And I'm here to testify to that. I started slipping down because I wasn't putting the good stuff in my mind. I wasn't taking care of my body. I wasn't putting the mineral vitamins in me. And I certainly was not practicing true gratitude. So as I grew my Christian life back, I started doing all these things. There's some other things that I did, like giving and getting around positive people. There's a lot of other things that I could have added, but that was the three that was the most important. Gratitude being the most important. So let's review. Remember, vitamins for your mind. Watch what goes in there. Do not put any negative stuff, that negative stuff on social media, politics. It doesn't matter. Don't put any of that in there. And number the second, meditation. Calm. Slow down to speed up. I love it. I love it. Meditation, I was so scared of it at first. I don't do that. That's for somebody else. And it changed my life. Have an open mind. And the third thing, and the most important, is true gratitude. Practice true gratitude to be thankful for every thing that you have, because none of us deserve any of it. I'll close with this. The world does not need any more negativity. It doesn't need any more criticism. It doesn't need any more hate. What the world needs is positivity and encouragement and love. And it's up to us on this call and people like us to spread that across the world. Guys, this is a right now more than any time in the history of the world, it needs us. I encourage, no, I challenge each and every one of you on this call to become the most positive person that you know. Because if you do, you will not only change your life, you will change the lives of everyone around you. And that's what'll make the difference. Wow. So excited to pass my enthusiasm to change the world. Thanks everybody on here. One of my VIP gifts I want to mention is 1 hour with the legendary Zig Ziglar's son, Tom Ziglar. He charges $1,000 and up for an hour. He's a good friend of mine. We will be on there. Please, please take advantage of that gift. It'll be extremely exciting. Again, I would just want to say thank you. And if I helped one person, each and every one of you might be the most positive person you know. But if you know somebody, if this has got you off the couch to talk to one person, to help one person to get a little positivity in their life, get a little feel good. Maybe invite them to lunch. Maybe just say, "Hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. I heard this guy speak, and I think maybe you're falling into that trap that so many people have." And it's easy, because if you're not putting those vitamins in your mind, your mind starts to, all that negative, that social media, that news, that friends telling you how bad the world is. It's what they're putting in their mind. So, thanks for listening, and I'm just going to say this. Act enthusiastic, and you'll be enthusiastic. Thank you so much, and stay positive. Thank you. I'm Michael Woods, Arkansas. Please reach out just to talk, just getting started, and I'm excited about it. Thank you. Looks like I'm about a minute early. That was so much fun. Please reach out to me, send me a message. I would love to visit with anybody, anytime that I'm available. Thanks again.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.